great singing all the way around. We bless the Lord. It's been a good day all the way just to be able to get here in the house of God, be able to sing and pray and preach together. And I'm glad to be able to see you here this evening. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of Luke. Over in the book of Luke, if you'll turn there to chapter number 2, in the book of St. Luke, chapter number 2. And as we find that place there, we'll be looking in verse number 39 in the book of Luke. You're able to stand, you may do so while we look there in this chapter. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was but a young lad. And now his parents went into Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. That's traveling a day's journey without Jesus. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after that 3 days they found him. That sounds a little akin to resurrection time. And in the temple, he was in the temple and sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word tonight. And we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I pray that now your blessing be upon every request that's been mentioned. May you have your will and way. And Lord, we pray. There's a young man, a young lady, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman that's lost without God. May you trouble their heart and grant them repentance and faith till they come as an empty-handed beggar before thee and get birth into the family of God. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. All right, as we look into this lesson that's here, I want to say how easy that it is to lose focus upon Jesus. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that we come together and you may worship with every fiber of your being, and you ought to. I mean, God's not interested in just a little half-hearted religious rhetoric. He's interested in people that come with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all their mind, with all their might. He's looking for people that are going to, with all their heart, be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that we sometimes suppose a lot of things. And let me tell you right now is that when you begin to look at the age of 12, the Lord Jesus Christ had been up there with his mother and, of course, Joseph, her husband, and they'd been there to the house of God as they did yearly. And here they are now, they're on the way back home, and no doubt they're thinking that he's here in this crowd, here with our, he's with our kinfolk somewhere. And somehow or another, as their acquaintances and they were moving along, somehow or another they came up and missed that Jesus was not with them. You ever lose sight of the Lord Jesus down at the house of God? That's where they'd been, see. And let me say to you that as they went over there, no doubt they got preoccupied. You know how sometimes you get, we're so, I don't know, I thought it was with you. Well, no, it's not with me. Well, maybe it's over there with one of these other people that's there. And, you know, you lose, first thing you know, it's easy to get preoccupied. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that you'll find that at the age of 12 years old, they've already gone one whole day's journey. It's not like they can whip that around, gas into it, and get back in a minute. They're going to have to go back a day's journey. And let me say to you that whenever they did that, while you're turning in your Bible over there to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, don't lose the thought of your text, though. But you'll find that in Revelation chapter number 3 and about verse number 13, the Laodicean church age, which is where we live, and it means the voice of the people or the people rule. And look in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and that white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, do you know whenever he talks about, and knowest not, you don't know the condition you're in, he said to the church at Laodicea. Here's what that means when you look that up. It means you're not aware of, you've not considered what's going on. And let me tell you something, is that your perception is going to be that which is going to be lacking. And here's some people that in the day and hour we live like that. There's a bunch of them like that. And they see absolutely no need for change. You know, I tell my wife every now and again, she's going to the store and all. Well, hon, you just need to be conscientious about your surroundings. You need to be conscientious about what's going on. And so, yeah, I mean, sure, there's been an old codger or two come along, tried to flirt with her, and she didn't have nothing to do with them. You didn't, did you? No, just... Remember when I had that 3/4-ton wide pickup, and buddy, that dude looked sharp. Some of you told me it looked sharp. Had a lot of compliments on it. And one time somebody followed her over there at Walmart, the parking lot, ma'am, I sure do like this truck. I said, well, tell him it's his hard luck. It's our truck. I just said to you that things like that, I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about your surroundings that are around you. There's a lot of nuts out there. You better watch what's going on with them. You know, in this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, they got to thinking, well, we can't find him here. Maybe he's among some of our acquaintances or kin folks and this and that. Well, it went over there, and of course, as a result, verse 44 back in our text, you'll find out they didn't know where he was either. Now, you realize that, how would you tonight, if you could misplace Jesus? You can't, but, you know, I guarantee you, you've got more him probably than he's got of us. And wouldn't it be something, though, if you had to go, I want to ask you, kin folks of mine, do you know where Jesus is? Son, it'd scare the fire out of you. You're always wanting to start up something, aren't you? You're always wanting to pick on us. We go to church 2 or 3 times a year just like everybody. Wouldn't you hate to depend on your kin folks to know where Jesus was? Tell you something else, is that you'll find out that after 3 days, they go back and they find him. You know where they find him? Down at the house of God, talking to these doctors and lawyers and people that have a real intellect. And not only is he listening to what they're saying, but he's asking them questions they can't answer. They're amazed that such wisdom is in a 12-year-old lad like it is in him. You know, I want to tell you something, is that whenever you go back and find the Lord, and somebody said, well, what happens if I lose sight of him? You'll find him right where they did, down at the house of God. The reason why that God puts that on there is because, did you notice, he was right back there where prayer was off to be made. He was right back there where preaching was. He was right there, buddy, where the power of God's at. And let me tell you, is that in the day and hour we live in, there's a lot of churches across the country that have lost sight of Jesus, and they don't know where to find him. And not only that, they're not really wanting to find him. Now, in this lesson you're looking at, remember over there in the book of Acts in chapter 7, do not turn there. Remember whenever Moses, God raised him up to be able to deliver his people Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And one day he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his fellow men, and he took and slew him. And then the next day or two, he found there was two Hebrews that were fighting, and one of them got nasty with him and said, you're going to slay me like you did that Egyptian? And my, you talk about put him on caution. He supposed that they would understand that God would use him to deliver them, but they didn't. They didn't suppose that. In this lesson that we're looking at here this evening, let me say to you, is that I'm glad to be able to know that every now and again, down at the house of God, you're going to find somebody somewhere that have lost sight of something, namely the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus had died, was buried, was rose again, was resurrected. And remember on resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene and some disciples went, Peter and John namely, and he outran Peter, if I remember that correctly, remember that, but he stood there and waited till Simon Peter got there to go in. When you look into that lesson there, you'll find that finally they both left, but Mary stayed there, and the Bible said that finally Jesus, unknowing to her that it was Jesus, that he asked her about why weepest thou, so forth and on. And she begins to explain about the crucifixion and about the promise that was given, and we had hoped that he was the Messiah, so forth and on. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that when Mary stays there and he asks her, why weepest thou? She sees him, she doesn't know it's him, and supposing him to be the gardener. I'm going to tell you something. You know what I think in the day and hour we're living in? The average Baptist, and I'm not talking about you folks, I believe you know the difference. The average Baptist church doesn't know who the Holy Ghost of God is. They're not aware there is any Holy Ghost. And they can function just fine without Jesus, been doing it for years. See? In this lesson you're looking at, let me say to you, we don't just suppose that everything's all right. Do you realize sometimes that we think as Baptistic-minded people, we think somehow or another that if we give it our all and do our best, that'll be good enough. Well, it won't be. Over there in the book of, where is it? In 1 Chronicles in chapter 13, I'll give you a moment to find it. Over in 1 Chronicles in chapter number 13. Now, here you'll find that not long ago we were studying about the ark, about Eli and his sons, the high priest down at the house of God during the days of Samuel when he was coming on the scene, and that Eli never restrained his own sons who were committing adultery and fornication down there at the house of God. And so God sent a message through Samuel. And as a result of that, you're going to find is that... they ended up, the Philistines attacked. Man, I forget how many thousands. There was four or five in one group got killed. 50,000 and something in another over the ark whenever they touched it. And then finally, there was that one man that when the ark stumbled, that Uzzah, that he reached and steadied it, and the wrath of God was upon him, and he fell dead right there, and he smote him down. Boy, you talk about put the fear of God in him. And all the people of Israel that were around, even David. And I want you to look, if you will, please, in verse number 7 of chapter 13, 1 Chronicles. The Bible said, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. Now, let me tell you where that new cart came from. That came out of the mind of that Philistine that's anti-God, anti-Bible, idolatrous buds. That's all they knew to do with him. But David knew better, but he didn't think better. Boy, they were coming back. In verse 8, David and all of Israel played before God with all of their might and with singing and with harps and psalteries and with trembles and cymbals and with trumpets. Now, in other words, here's the deal. Worshiping with all your might will not make it right. The Bible said in the next passage there, and whenever they came to the threshold of Chidon, that Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark because the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, and he smote him because that he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Now, I want to tell you something. Boy, they're fixing to pull that thing aside somewhere till they can get something figured out. Do you realize, though, that there's some things that you can't figure out on July the 4th? I use that illustration because the other day when we were out there, we went by old Brother Sam, Miss April, and out there Andrew was riding his bicycle. I said, oh, man, look there. He hadn't even got any training wheels. He said, I finally figured it out on the 4th of July. That's made an impact on me. Here the oxen stumbled. There's been a death that's been caught, and as a result, nobody seemingly knows why. Now, the Bible said in chapter number 15, 1 Chronicles, David made him houses in the city of David, prepared a place for the ark of God, pitched for it a tent. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God. Now, you see, that bunch of Philistines, they had took the ark of God, and they only had it 7 months. And they had brought it into their hands, and as a result, they set it up by their god, Dagon. And the next morning, he had fell over on his face. Well, they had to prop him back up. That's the way religion is. And as a result of that, the next time he fell over, it broke off his head, broke off his hands. And let me tell you right now, it smoked them. I don't know if emeralds or hemorrhoids or what, but whatever it was in their secret parts, there was some inflammation going on. And the Bible said they wanted to get rid of it. We've got to get this thing out of here before it kills all of us. And they didn't keep it for 7 months. And they got together and put up a card and got a milk cow, and they tied it to it. And we're going to let that milk cow tie their babies up and let them go on and so forth and on and see if we can't get that out of here. Well, by the time now that the Israelites are seeing it, hey, they're so thrilled to see the Ark of God. In fact, as the Bible said, they had not inquired of it all the days of Saul. I'd been 20 years had passed. That's a long time, isn't it? I've got people, I guarantee you right now, that are in church, out of church, more out than they are in, and they ain't never in their life had an experience that was real, that was life-changing, and all the years that they've been going through the motions down at a church house. Yeah. In this Bible lesson here that you're looking at, the Bible said David, he got to find it, and look in chapter 15 again, and look in verse 12. And he said unto them, you're the chief of the fathers of the Levites, sanctify yourselves both ye and your brother, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for in. For because ye did it not after at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after due order. Here's what due order is. It's by the word of the Lord. It's not a guesswork. It's not what everybody else wants to do. And by the way, is that whenever it came up before all the people, every one of them were on the same bandwagon, they said, oh yeah, let's bring it right on up. Not one of them ever stopped and said, hey, hold it a minute. Nobody can bring that ark up except those Levites that God's ordained and called to be able to do that. I want to say to you that in this lesson back years ago, I've got a sermon somewhere. And it's over in 2 Kings in chapter number 22, if I remember correctly. And in that Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that Josiah has become the king, Judah, and as a result, here's what happens. They go to searching around there at the house of God, and lo and behold, if they did not find the word of the Lord that had gone missing back in its day. In fact, is the king ordered, I want somebody to get it and read it and find out what's in the book. Do you know that when they read into the book, they finally put on sackcloth and ashes and began to fast and pray because they read in the book how the wrath of God and the judgment of God was coming upon Israel, and they didn't even know it. Now, you know, in the day and hour we're living in, you would think that we'd be a little more conscientious in this as a nation, as a one nation under God. But boy, they're trying to shove God so far out and so far. Can you imagine, like this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ being arrested by Pilate? The perfect man the only perfect man ever that's been on the face of this earth, and they arrested him to put him to death. And they wasn't just wanting to get him thrown out of town. They want to get rid of him forever. And they're not going to. They're just not going to. I want to say in closing that, if you will, that when you begin to look into this Bible, is that the Lord Jesus appeared to them in the upper room over in the book of Luke, chapter number 24. And they got afraid and supposed they had seen a spirit. And the Bible said then that Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. Now I'm going to tell you, is that every now and again, I read over there to where even those apostles and those that were closest to him, they would ask a question and they would, the Lord would tell them, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it obey you. And here's what I pray every now and again, because this is what they did. Lord, help our unbelief. Now, I'm not trying to move any kind of a mountain, but every now and again, you just come up against a situation and you think, well, I've heard that 100 times, 1,000 times all my life, and I don't know, is it going to be or is it not going to be? Lord, help my unbelief and help me to believe God and what God says. You know, the Bible teaches over there to them churches in Revelation. He said, I set before thee an open door. And I can open the door, no man can shut it. I can shut a door, and no man can open it. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus found me and snatched me as a brand from the burning. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I would to God that he had pounded upon your heart's door, knocked so heavily upon it that you could hear your own heart beating. And may he open your eyes of understanding, grant you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us.